This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
When I was about in eighth grade, a student came in, and he was kind of a new student, and the student, what I began to notice immediately was he came to school, and his hair was usually messed up, and he came to school, and he usually had probably two or three days a week he would wear the same clothes, and then I began to notice that actually some days he kind of stunk a little bit, and you could imagine how he would be treated. He'd just be avoided like the plague, you know. People just didn't want to have anything to do with him. He'd get ridiculed sometimes in PE class, you know. He wasn't quite, you know, real athletic. And it was just clear that something was off for this young boy. And he reminds me of this situation in Luke chapter 5 with this man with leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that when you have leprosy, your skin kind of breaks out with like almost like open sores. It can get in your eyes and in your nose, and it's just this really terrible disease. And you can catch leprosy. Someone sneezes on you, and you can actually catch leprosy. So you can imagine people would want to stay away from people with leprosy. And in Luke chapter 5 verse 12, you see Jesus encounter this man with leprosy. Would you just turn there? Would you turn there in your Bibles? Luke chapter 5, verse 12. When we open up the Bibles, when we open up our Bibles, we hear the living God speak. This is his word. And it's amazing that the Spirit of God speaks through the word of God straight to our hearts today. And I encourage you just to open up your heart this morning as we look into God's word. Luke chapter 5, if you're looking in the black Bibles that you grabbed one underneath your seat, it's on page 861. 861. Luke chapter 5. You guys there? DNOW students, if you got it, just hold your Bible up. Say, I'm there. Just say it. I'm there. Beautiful. All right. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Let's just pause there. This guy had it all over him. Had it all over him. It wasn't like a spot on his arm that you wondered, does he might have leprosy? Full of leprosy, all over him. Nobody wanted to be this guy's friend. Nobody wanted to get like an air shot of him, right? While he was in one of those cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. It's wild that this man, upon seeing Jesus, in a moment, knew he was the Lord. He called him Lord. He expressed from his own heart, you're my Lord, Lord. And here's what's amazing, is that when you get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, you know he can do anything. When you truly understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is very God, that he spoke the universe into being, when you truly understand who Jesus is, you realize he can do anything in your life, anything. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Isn't that beautiful? The people that we don't even want to be close to, Jesus wants to touch. The people that we might ridicule, the people that we might make fun of, the people that we want to avoid, the people we don't even want to get close enough to be sneezed on by, Jesus wants to get so close to them that he can reach out and touch them. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize this passage this morning, but maybe you feel like you've been walking with like a social leprosy, where you feel like people just avoid you like the plague. You feel like you can't build friendships. You feel like people just leave you. They run from you all the time. And here's the good news. Though every person that you encounter may leave you, Jesus never will. And he wants to embrace you, and he wants to be in your life, and he wants to touch your life to where you're transformed. He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. Be clean. So Jesus was showing two things here. Let's read on. Look at this with me. And immediately the leprosy left him. One touch, one word from Jesus, he's healed, he's clean, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus is showing two things right here. Jesus is showing that he is all about compassion. He's all about compassion. And as we become followers of Jesus, and he begins to mold us into his image, we too become people that are all about compassion. We embrace those people that no one else will embrace. But Jesus is also showing that his kingdom has come. In part, his kingdom has come. Now, we've been talking a lot about this, and we'll continue to talk about this as we study through the book of Luke. But what Jesus was showing is a picture, a snapshot to say, when I'm ruling and when I'm reigning, there is no disease. Disease runs when I'm ruling. That's good news. That's good news. Last week, we anointed 6 people with oil at the prayer station in the back that requested anointing for healing. It requested prayer for healing. Last week, I had everybody raise their hands. Would you raise your hand? Last week, I asked everybody to raise their hands if they had been sick in the last year. And it was like over 80% of us had been sick in the last year. And Jesus is showing, and this is good news. This is good news. Jesus is showing that his kingdom has come in part, and one day it's going to come in full when he returns. And listen, when Jesus comes again, there will be no sickness and no disease and no fear and no temptation towards sin. It's going to be glory. It's going to be glory. That's why we hope in Jesus. That's why we worship him, is because he alone can bring that kind of kingdom. There's no politician that's going to be able to bring that kind of kingdom. Healthcare for all. Jesus says, healing for all. Healing for all who hope in me. One day it's coming, friends. If you hope in Jesus, that's your future. That's your future. He goes on, and he says, immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one. Now, why? What's up with that? I thought Jesus wanted everybody to know about him. Well, he was on a mission. And he was going to die for our sins, and he was going to rise from the dead. And the time was not yet ready for that. And so he said, don't tell anybody. But even still, the news spread like wildfire. Look at this. And he charged him to tell no one, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for proof to them, because the priests were going to be skeptical. So he was saying, no, let's do it the way that the priests are expecting, as a proof to them. Verse 15, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities. That's what we're praying for here. We're praying that the Spirit of Jesus touches people's hearts and lives in such a powerful way that the news around town spreads like wildfire, and this place is overflowing. Not because real life is amazing, not because the preaching's amazing, not because the music's amazing, but because Jesus is amazing, and the presence of Jesus is here, and Jesus touches people and encounters, changes people every Sunday in this place. That's what we're longing for. You know, we had students pray to receive Christ for the very first time this week at Disciple Now. Incredible. That's why we're doing this. Look at this last verse. Jesus, verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And pray. Listen, dear friends, God wants us to love him and to long for his presence more than we love anything else and more than we long for anything else. And Jesus got away with the Father to delight in him and to depend upon him. Maybe today that's the one thing you need to hear, is that you need to renew your relationship with God, where you get alone with him, you turn your phone off, you get away where nobody else can find you, and you open up your Bible and you get alone with God because you love him and you want a real relationship with him. Listen, Jesus, the Son of God, knew he needed the power of God on his life, and he delighted in the Father, so he got away where nobody was. Imagine the amount of people that needed healing, and Jesus left them. Isn't that crazy? You're like, I got so much work to be done, right? Jesus had so many people to heal, and yet he still got away with the Father. We need time alone with the Lord, right? Right now, as we stand and sing, would you just stand to your feet? As we stand and sing, in your heart, would you just say to God through this song, Lord, I want to draw close to you. I want to get away in a desolate place. I want to know you more intimately. I want to draw near to you. You just sing to the Lord from your heart together. Pick back up in verse 17, Luke chapter 5. You ready? It's page 861 in those black Bibles. I want you to see this in your Bibles. Grab your Bible, open it up. It's like the greatest moment of all Sundays is when we have our Bibles open, hearing the Spirit of God speak to us through the Word of God. Chapter 5, verse 17. This is a crazy scene, what's about to happen. Maybe you've heard about this story. Maybe you've read this before. It's incredible. Look at verse 17 with me. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Now, who were those people, Pharisees and teachers of the law? They were really, really religious people. They were very, very passionate about doing the right thing. But they weren't motivated by love for God. They were motivated by self-righteousness. And it says they had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Look back at verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and what? Pray. And a few lines later, Luke recorded what? That the power of the Lord was on him to heal. Do you see the correlation? You see the court. Listen, friends, some of you so desperately long for the power of God to be on your life. You're trying to overcome that sin that just keeps tripping you up. But unless you go deep in your personal relationship with God, you won't experience the power of God on your life. Some of you have voices in your head that you just can't shake. They're lies of the enemy. They're lies of your own head. And you just kind of been, those have been the narrative of your life for years. And you're not going to be able to dissolve those voices until you go deep in your personal relationship with God. And that's where the power of God rests on your life, is when you sink your roots into a real relationship with him. Verse 18, look at this. And behold, this is the crazy part. This is so good. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. You know, people that are paralyzed, they often get frustrated with people that aren't paralyzed because we don't know how to greet them sometimes. We don't know how to hug them. We don't know how to shake their hand, you know? And here's a man that was paralyzed. And he's got some friends that care about him deeply. And they're bringing him on a stretcher to Jesus. Look at this with me. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. So here's the picture. So we've got a nice crowd here this morning, but imagine the crowd being all the way to the back, standing room only. Look back there right now and see the door open. You see the door open? Imagine that you can't even see the door open because people are standing all the way back into the hallway. And here's a man that desperately needs to get into the presence of Jesus to have any hope for experiencing healing by Jesus. And his friends, they get backlogged into the lobby. They're carrying him in on a stretcher. They can't even make it around the corner because the crowd is backed up so far in the lobby. So what do? They get a ladder, they go up on the roof. And in these days, it would have been like all kinds of hay and straw on the roof. And so can you imagine right now while we're singing a song or preaching a sermon, like hay and dirt and mud just starting to fall right here, from right here, It just starts falling. Craig's getting it on his head, right? We're getting it in our laps over here. You're like, oh man, I just bought this outfit this week, you know? And it's just coming. And then they start cranking him down on ropes and lowering him down. You're like, what in the world is going on? Why were they doing that? It's because they love their friend. And they knew that their friend's only hope was to get into the presence of Jesus. How do you know if you really love your friends? Like, how do you know if it's more than just like a surface level, just acquaintance, I'm just kind of in this relationship for myself? Like, how do you know if you really love that person? Here's how. You're willing to do anything and everything it takes to get them into the presence of Jesus. Why is Luke giving us this scene? It's so that we can see that there's men that love their friend and they're giving it everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the crowd is all, it doesn't matter if they can't get in the back door. We're gonna drop him through the ceiling because we gotta get him in the presence of Jesus. And here's what I'm willing to bet. I'm willing to bet that every one of us here this morning have two or three or four friends right now that if you knew they would say yes, if you invited them to come, you would have invited them this morning. Do you love your friends? These men, they love their friends. And some of you are like, man, I got a friend who loves me because they've been harassing me for months to get to church. And I experienced the warm love of Jesus in this place. So finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. This is wild, isn't it? It's faith that precedes forgiveness. Listen, friends, God's not gonna forgive you just because he's a forgiving God. But if you'll rely on him in faith, that's what brings about forgiveness. And Jesus looked at these men's faith, his friend's faith, and said, "This faith, your sins are forgiven." But that kind of causes a little bit of a ruckus with the religious leaders. Look at what happens. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees, those religious people that are very, very passionate about obeying God, but their hearts aren't in it for the right reason. They say, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies?" Crazy error about God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're kind of putting it together here. Jesus is revealing who he is. He's God. Therefore, he can say your sins are forgiven. And they're like, who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Do you hear what's going on here? He tells this man, your sins are forgiven. And all the religious leaders are like, blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And he's like, all right, here's the big reveal. Here's the big reveal. I'm about to show you who I am. And he says, so that you'll know that I have the authority to forgive sins, take up your mat and walk. And he's healed. And he takes up his mat and he goes home glorifying God. And he shows people he is the Lord. He's the Lord. Listen, our bookshelves are filled with self-help books. Some of you, maybe you're cranking through your second this year. And listen, anything that you find helpful, go for it. But dear friends, you can't dig yourself up out of the hole that you find yourself in today. But Jesus is willing to reach down in and lift you up out of the pit you find yourself in. He's willing to meet you right where you are. And he has the power. He has the power to bring you up out of whatever you're struggling with. And here's what's more beautiful than that. He has the power to forgive your sins. Jesus alone has the power to forgive your sins. Why? Because he would go and die on the cross for sins and rise from the dead. So every one of us, if we trust in Jesus, if we call upon Jesus to save us, we never have to doubt. If we belong to him, if our sins are forgiven, if we're washed clean, that shame that we carried for so many years, it's no longer ours to carry because Jesus took it on himself on the cross. That guilt that we just feel so weighed heavy down, it's not our guilt to carry because Jesus carried it when he died on the cross for us. And listen, he wants to say to everyone who would trust in him today, he wants to tell you your sins are forgiven. He wants to tell you you're washed clean. He wants to tell you there's no condemnation for you. Jesus wants to tell you you've got a restored relationship with God, your maker. But it only comes through looking at Jesus and saying, you alone are Lord. You alone are Lord. So what's standing in your way today from calling on Jesus as Lord? What's keeping you from looking at him and seeing him as the Son of God? It's wild, isn't it? I hope you see this contrast. I hope you see this contrast. The man with leprosy, whose body was like opened up with all those sores, he saw Jesus and he said, you're Lord. Immediately he said, you're Lord. Lord, you can heal me. I can be clean if you'll heal me. The religious leaders, they said, blasphemy. You're not Lord. You're not Lord. So who do you say Jesus is? Is he Lord of your life? Or is he just some good teacher that you're considering his teachings? Immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. You want to see God do extraordinary things in your school? Get your friends into the presence of Jesus. You want to see God do extraordinary things in your workplace? Get your friends in the presence of Jesus. You want to see God do extraordinary things in your family? Get your family in the presence of Jesus. You think, well, it's a lot of hard work. Yeah, and dropping their friend down through the ceiling wasn't quite convenient, was it? Let's stand and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, stir our hearts this morning. Father, we confess our apathy, we confess our unbelief, and we pray by your Spirit that as we sing, you would stir something fresh in our hearts this morning. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. You have that friend that you're nervous to invite to church because you're afraid they might drop too many F-bombs in the lobby when they're getting their coffee? You know how backwards that is, like having a friend that you're afraid like will be offensive at church to other people? Do you know how backwards that is? Because the church is not to be a museum of saints, it's to be a hospital for sinners, right? Isn't that right? I mean, so we want as many F-bombs dropped in the lobby as we can handle. I mean, you laugh, but I'm serious. I want your most offensive friend that you know stepping into this place. Why? Because that's who Jesus came for. That's who Jesus came for. And listen, if you don't understand what an offense you are to God in your sin, then you can't have the forgiveness that he offers. Do you understand that? Like, unless you actually understand, no, I am that offensive person. Like, I've polished up my language, but my heart is still needs cleaning. Do you see it? Like, I can put on a good Sunday facade, but at home, I texted all of our Disciple Now leaders the other night, like Friday. I hope it didn't put pressure on you guys. But I texted all the Disciple Now leaders, and I told them, I said, my sophomore year in college, I could name every single Disciple Now leader I had from sixth grade all the way through my 12th grade year, and every host home. And I just told them that to say, God is going to use you in lasting, memorable ways. You think that's crazy? Listen to this. When I was in sixth grade, James Wright was my leader. The Gullets were my host home. And we went through material called Back to the Basics that had this quote from Billy Graham: the true test of a Christian is how he lives in his home. You think, why do we do Disciple Now? Why do we rent vans and take students all over town and play dodgeball and take them to manna? And it's because we believe that the Word of God, the Spirit of God working through the Word of God, wants to touch their hearts and transform them so they begin to live for the glory of God. And we put them in environments where a quote like that might be impressed upon their heart for the rest of their life. That God may have said something to a student this week that they'll never forget the rest of their life, that it'll shape them for the rest of their days. Students, that's what we're praying for. That's why we do Disciple Now. I mean, it's crazy fun, right? The dodgeball, like I've already heard stories about the dodgeball. I hope everybody's okay. Heard there were some pretty intense shots. But we do Disciple Now because we believe the living God who made us wants to meet with us and begin to transform our lives from the inside out. But in order for us to welcome the presence of God in our life, we have to understand what offense to God we are in our sin so that we can receive his forgiveness. Look at this next text in verse 27. Page 861, Luke 5, 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. Let me just pause there. Tax collectors were hated by people. They were hated by people because of what an offense they were, because they lied and they stole and they cheated people of their taxes. You couldn't find an honest tax collector in this day. They were corrupt. So every time that they would take taxes from what people made, they would take more than they were supposed to take. I mean, we get pretty riled up about taxes, don't we? Like the big question we want answered from a politician is, are you going to raise taxes, right? I mean, there's a lot more questions than that, but that's a big one for us, isn't it? Quit taking my money. And tax collectors took everybody's money. Nobody liked them. Can you just picture that person in your school, students, right now? I mean, maybe some people like them, but they're just like, they're the worst of the worst. And don't point at anybody here this morning, right? Can you just see that person in your workplace right now? And you don't like them, but Jesus loves them. Look at this. He said to him, this tax collector, follow me. Follow me. Jesus invited him to be with him. And then look at what goes on. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Good call, Levi. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the forgiver of your sins. You can follow him. Look at verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with him. So Jesus is here having a meal with tax collectors and sinners, and the religious people don't like it. Verse 30, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, and here it is. Here it is, friends. Don't miss this. Those who are well have no need of a physician. Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick. So Jesus is taking this physical imagery of you only go to the doctor when you're sick. I mean, you might go for a checkup, right? But when you're sick, that's when you're going to urgent care, right? You don't wake up feeling 100% and just think, I'll go to urgent care. No, you go when you realize, man, I do not feel good. My throat is like on fire, right? Like headaches going on and on and on. Then I go to the doctor. And what Jesus is saying is that he came for the sick spiritually. Look at this with me. And Jesus answered him, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But sinners to repentance. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus did not come to reward the religious, but he came to rescue rebellious people. Jesus did not come to reward religious people. He came to rescue rebellious people. And so if in your heart, at the end of the day, you know you don't measure up, good news, Jesus came for you. If in your heart, at the end of the day, you feel like, man, I just keep screwing up, good news, Jesus came for you. But if in your heart, you compare yourselves to other people and you think you're pretty good because look at them, you can't have the forgiveness of Jesus until you realize that you're sick spiritually. He came for the sick, not for the well. Do you see it? Do you see it? So let's stop pretending that we got it all together. And let's be open about our own sin and brokenness. Because Jesus steps into that and says, that's why I came. I came for you. Some of you, the devil's plaguing you about your past. Jesus came to wash away your past and to give you a brand new future. Step into that today. Step into that today. Shame is not of Jesus. The guilt that you bear down is not of Jesus. Jesus came to wash you clean, dear friends, to give you freedom from all of that. That's why we worship him. That's why we worship him. It's not out of duty. It's out of delight that the King of Kings did the unthinkable for us. He cleansed us down to our very conscience. But look at what he says. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. To what? To what? To repentance. To repentance. There's a great video going around on Twitter of Justin Bieber. I know you guys aren't Bieber fans. Maybe a couple of diehards in the house. I don't know. But Bieber basically said for a long time he believed Jesus was the Son of God. He just didn't know he had to repent to have a relationship with him. And maybe that's where you are this morning. So you're just kind of going on your merry way. You're doing your deal and you're like, I'm not Buddhist. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Hindu. I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But you've never turned your life around and let him be the Lord of your life and the King of your life and received him to be the master of your life and the boss of your life. And that's the repentance that Jesus calls all of us to say, you know what? I can't forgive myself. I can't cleanse myself. I can't give myself a new future. Only Jesus can do that. So I'm not going to keep going on my merry way. I'm going to stop living my life for me, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to let Jesus be King, and I'm going to start living with him as Lord, and I'm not going to get it perfect. And when I don't, I'm going to rejoice that he came for the sick, not for the well. And I'm going to say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness again today. But I'm walking with you and I'm walking for you. That's what repentance is, dear friends. Listen, there's no forgiveness without repentance. There's no real relationship with God. There's no peace with God without repentance. Some of you have been playing church for years and you've never repented of your sins. Maybe today is your day. Today is your day. If you need to repent and say, Jesus, I'm done being Lord. You've got to be King. You've got to be Lord. Would you just check that off on the back of your card so we can pray for you and encourage you and know what God's doing in your life? Amen? Let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we need you to wake us from our slumber. Lord, we need you to move in our hearts so that we begin to live for what matters most. Father, we need the glitz and the glamour of this world that we are allured to live for to die, and we need to see your glory. Lord, I pray for these students this morning, and I pray that Spirit of God, you would stir that in their hearts and they would begin to live for you, that they would repent because they know that Jesus, you came for all of us scoundrels that will acknowledge our sin. So Holy Father, we come and we need King Jesus. Wash us clean of our sins today. Give us courage and commitment to follow you with all that we've got. For your glory. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.